Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center today. Dr. Randy Carlson live along with Andrew, who's running the boards today. Thank you, Andrew and Gino. All guys here today. Gino running Facebook. And our senior producer, Stephen, is here. Jennifer's not with us today. We're missing Jennifer. But thank you, Andrew, for filling in. We're going to talk about marriage today. And I was thinking coming into the studio of all the work that I've done with couples over the years. I think most couples, most of you want to make your marriage work, but unfortunately we live in a kind of a post-it note world today. What I mean by that is a post-it note marriage is it sticks as long as you want it to stick, but it's easy to just pull it apart. We've made it maybe too easy, and of course those of you who've been through divorce and loss of a marriage, you know it's not as easy as it may sound. It's difficult, lots of ways, a lot of pain. And of course, we're here, Intentional Living, trying to encourage those of you that are single, those of you who've been through divorce, let you know God loves you. You can do this. Live intentionally in Christ. And to those of you who are married today, maybe to move more toward the wonder glue approach. You know, when you stick, and you make the marriage work. And I know it doesn't always work. And today, lots of stresses on marriage. So, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to open the phone lines and just invite you from all over the country, if you're listening online, listening on a radio, to call us or on Facebook to post a note. That'd be great to our Facebook friends who have joined us as well. One thing that's helped your marriage last. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. I wrote down four things for Don and I that have helped us reach this milestone of years in marriage. And I'll tell you what those four things are, at least from my perspective. I should get Donna on the phone, find out if my four matches her four. Or maybe not. Anyway, what's helped make your marriage last? 888-888-1717. I'll tell you what they are in a minute. But first, let's go to Dave, who's joining us. How long have you been married, Dave?
Well, I'm 31 years, and 3.5 years ago, I lost Nancy, and I'm saddened by that, but yes. God is a good God, and good things are in progress, but the marriage was certainly a very good thing. I think of him saying that a wife finds a good thing, and
yes.
That was very true. And
was that an unexpected death?
It was 3 years in the coming because of a fight with cancer, so kind of expected, and it was a sort of a rich 3 years, probably some of the best in our marriage.
Yeah, I want to hear about that in a moment. I want to ask you about that in a moment, but tell me, during those 31 years, what was the one ingredient that you think kind of held everything together? I mean, what was one of the things that really held you together?
Well, not at all cliche, Jesus, because I thought of it as a game changer. When you're a kid and you have some of those games where you have a base or a home and you go there and you're safe and the people can't tag you or whatever.
Yeah.
But Jesus was that for us because, yeah, we had hard times, disagreements, things we didn't like about each other or had to grow to understand about each other. But it was as though there were no other options than working through it. You go to Jesus and find your safe place and keep working on your marriage. So as committed Christians, just knowing that it would not honor him, it would not please him, it was not his plan for the marriage to dissolve or whatever one might want to call that, it was just like not an option to do anything except keep going back to him.
Good for you. Now, those last 3 years, can't imagine. Don't wish that on anybody, Dave, and I know you've been through it and you've learned some lessons. You look back. What were those 3 years like in terms of what have you learned about, I don't know, about life and marriage and priorities?
Hard. She was a very godly person, just an encouragement. And through that year, those several years, the testimony that she had and the suffering, she in some ways suffered physically, but just knowing that her survival was not very likely was hard for me, and I wanted to fix it. I wanted to, you know, get it, see another doctor, all this stuff, and some of my pressure on that, I had to realize that, you know, God was allowing her in control and just admire and be with her as she was being strong, but really treasured her more than, I think it's hard for a fellas sometimes to realize we're not treasuring our wives the way we should, and something like that coming in your life really does help to bring the focus where it should be.
And where are you now? How are you doing?
I'm real involved in a church and just loving it, and have support from family. And, you know, there's a sense in which I have a chance just to give back. And I think of Paul being in prison and saying that his circumstances had turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. And he didn't choose his circumstance. I didn't choose mine, but God's using it.
That's good, Dave. Thank you for taking time to call us and leave that kind of a story that we can encourage others. Hey, listen, life is short. What is making your marriage last? Maybe you've been married 10 years. Maybe you've been married 50 years. What's one thing that's helped you? One thing that's helped you in your marriage to help someone else? 888-888-1717 is the phone number. Of course, it could be cliche to say love, but I think for Don and I, man, I love that woman. You know, it's just the way it is. And I keep telling her after all these years, I just keep loving you. It doesn't go away. And I think that's a decision that we make. You know, love is a decision. It's also an action. But then I wrote down, you know, it never was an option for us. I mean, when Don and I got married, we were teenagers. I was 19, she was 18. And when you think about divorce and separate, those weren't things that... that really were options in our mind. It was kind of like, well, that we're not even considering that. And I've told people in counseling over the years in my conferences, you know, whenever we leave that back door kind of wide open, it's in our mind. Whenever things get tough, it's easy to look at the back door. Because let's face it, you know, there's an escape. I can get out of this pain or this difficulty. And please, I understand some of you had to leave. I understand that. I get it. But I'm saying in our culture today, it can be too easy. And I think one of the reasons we see marriage on the decrease, less and less people getting married, younger people, is they probably have seen that in terms of, well, these marriages don't work. And so why bother? We'll just live together. And that's what's happening, frankly. And so making a decision to say, hey, I'm gonna pray. I'm going to pick carefully. I'm going to move into this carefully. We're willing to work through whatever the issues are, but not have that as the first option. Family support was huge for us. Christian families, supportive families, encouraging families. And then, of course, Don and I have a shared faith. And so, that's huge. That's being equally yoked, as the scripture says. All right, tell you what, let's take a break, Andrew, and then we're going to come on back and take some more calls. Love to have you join in. One thing that comes to mind today for you that's helped you make your marriage last. What is it? Join the discussion here. 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Romans 5, 3 and 4. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. We know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confidence, our confident hope of salvation. It's really interesting. And what Paul is saying to us is we really learn to rejoice during difficult times. That's not an easy thing to do. I put there as a little sub note, we need to use our problems to grow. I mean, we're either going to grow through problems or we're not going to grow through problems. And I think in a ministry basis, when I'm talking, this helped me is doing this lesson, because I'm thinking as I talk to people on the radio and they're calling, talking about all the problems that they're having, it's easy to say, how can I help you get out of your problems? Instead of saying, what have you learned from your problems? What have you learned from this? What is God teaching you? There are six verses in Scripture that I teach on this two-part series on experiencing hope that are focused on action. What one thing can we do to experience the hope that God promises in His Word? Too few of us really experience the fullness of the hope that we have in Christ. The hope is a limitless supply, but experiencing hope is an option, a decision. can be daily, hourly. It's a decision we have to make. And the lesson this month has been intended to teach very specific 6 things you can do, steps you can take to experience hope. And so members, thank you for your ongoing, regular, financial, and prayer support for Intentional Living. You receive it automatically, as you know, mid-month, both video and audio. For new members, you join us today, we'll make sure you're included. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, or you can call us right here at the same number, 888-888-1717, and press number 2 to talk to our team upstairs. Fair enough? All right, let's go back to the calls. We got Jen on the line in Texas. Hi, Jen. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. What do you think about this making marriage last? What's helped you?
Listen, one of the things that we do is just question everything. A lot of times what we think is fact is actually an opinion. And how you load the dishwasher is not how I load the dishwasher, but that doesn't mean either one of us is right or wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with
so
you.
We just
so what you say, question,
and,
you know, is not, it's not you're questioning your spouse. You're just questioning yourself in terms of, hey, am I being objective? Am I being honest?
Yeah.
Taking responsibility?
Yeah. And this is our marriage. It's not my parents' marriage. It's not your parents' marriage. This is ours. And
right.
So it doesn't have to be this way, right? It's just there's 15 ways to get to the same place. So how are we going to do it as a couple?
Amen. Hey, listen, that's being on the same page.
Yeah, be flexible.
How long you been married?
Yeah. Not very long. Well, I mean, 15 years, that's a good long while, but it's a second marriage, and man, with Christ in the center and us surrendered to him individually and as a couple has made all the difference in the world. It's a beautiful marriage.
Fantastic. Well, we'll pray you get another 30 years out of this, okay?
That would be amazing. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jen. Appreciate your call.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Right.
Jen makes a really important point. We see this in why do people go to counseling many times, marriage counseling, is they're trying to get above their own personal view of something and be objective enough to listen to their spouse. I tell you, I talk to enough people. And here's one of the things I see in marriage. I see it in life in general. Whenever we take a position on something or someone, we make a decision about somebody, then we spend the rest of our time defending that position, even if it's wrong. I mean, think about what's going on in the world today. And let's just be honest. Some of the positions sometimes we take, and then we see facts come out later, and we say, wow, you know, I wasn't getting above this. I wasn't being objective. I wasn't really paying attention. I wasn't seeking God's wisdom. I just knew what I knew. I just knew what I believed, and that's it. And what happens when we do that, like Jen said, we lose the opportunity to be questioning ourselves. There's power in asking questions of ourselves. We're not always right. And he or she's not always wrong. Because if you think that's true, it ain't. Bottom line. All right. What makes your marriage last? Teresa is in Arizona. Hi, Teresa. How you doing?
Hi, Randy. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good. What do you think? What helps you make your marriage last?
Well, it's something I just read this article by Gary Thomas called What Cherishing Your Spouse Really Means. And it put that's the word I would choose to use is cherishing, that my husband cherishes me. There's love and there's cherishing, and they're kind of a little different. And he compares love from 1 Corinthians to cherishing in the Song of Solomon and in this article anyway. But so I think that's one thing we try and do with each other is like just cherish the moments with each other, cherish, you know, each other's individuality and strengths and what we love about them.
Yeah. Was that a process to get to that, or are you still on the journey?
Yeah. Well, I will say we married late in life. We both were in our mid-40s when we married. And so I will say that we had gone through a few, you know, things in our lives, but God has taught us for sure. And in times that were difficult, and maybe harder to do something like that, I just found that it really works. I mean, yeah. And it's just so much easier on your marriage, and it's like the burden that's light that Jesus talks about. Mm-hmm. When we follow His ways and you know, submit ourselves to Him and to one another,
which is biblical, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, right, which is what we're trying to do. But that's just, I think the word cherish is what, when I read that article, it was like, that was kind of the word that stood out as, yeah, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Powerful. Thank you, Teresa. Appreciate your call. From Arizona. Cherishing, you know, whenever we cherish, we elevate. You think about it. The things you cherish in your life, you either put it in a safe deposit box or you put it out carefully so people can use it and see it. Things that are important. Do we have that kind of attitude in our marriage? When we cherish something, we take care of it. When we cherish something, we realize that we have a responsibility to take care of it. It's good. All right, if you just turn the radio on and say, what's this guy talking about? We've opened the phone lines just these 28 minutes. It's all we got here from Intentional Living, about 10 left. And we're just asking you to join us and say, what's one thing, you might think of 10, but bring it down to one thing that helps you make your marriage work, kind of the glue that holds it together. What is it? I mean, really practical thing. Questioning everything, good comment from Jen. Teresa reminding us about cherishing. Let's find out what Tim has for us, also in Arizona. Hi, Tim. How you doing?
Hey, Randy. How you doing today, sir?
Good. Good. Doing well. Appreciate it. Appreciate your call. What is it in your marriage that helps?
One thing you said.
Yep.
Our flaws. And the reason why I say that is that when I met Sandra, I was a mess, my brother. I was on crack cocaine. I went to prison. I mean, I had took her through so much to where I had told her to leave. I was in jail, and she came, and I said, you know what, sweetheart, I can't get it. You know, why don't you just leave? And she said, no, I'm going to wait. And so she seen something in me that I didn't see. So she went through all that mess with me, man, and I came back out of it. And, you know, of course, I was always a believer. I was raised. And so when I was in prison, I started going to church and everything and started getting back into it. And I got out. Make a long story short, when I did get out, I found out that she had things going on, too. She had children that she had one young man that was very, very hard for me to love. He just didn't like me. He was 13 years old, and he just didn't like me and the family. And it was just things that was going on in her life that I had to deal with. So mm-hmm. We began to see that we both, you know, had these, you know, neither one of us was perfect. And so, you know what? We just have grown to really love. We've been married 31 years now.
Good for you. Hey, listen, you said
and
something.
So, you know.
You said ahead, something sir. Really important, Tim, that I don't want to miss, because your whole call just stuck when you said it. It was, she saw something in me that I didn't see in me. And that is a really profound thing. Tim, listen, you hit the bottom. She had every reason to say, enough of this guy, and I'm out of here. But she saw something in you. You saw something in her. 30 plus years later, there's been growth. Continuing to move closer to Jesus every day. We're not perfect. If you want to have a marriage that lasts, listen to me. I'm telling you, I've been around the block, talked to a lot of people. We're talking intentional living now. Speak life into your spouse. Speak life into your marriage. It matters. What you say matters. But you say, you don't understand. I'm struggling to respect my spouse. I'm struggling to love them. I see so many things that are maybe negative going on in the relationship. If you want to make a difference in your relationship, Start finding maybe that one thing that you appreciate and start speaking into that person's life. It'll make a big difference. Guys, listen, I got all guys in here today operating. Men, don't we like our wives when they speak into our life and say something nice about us? I mean, just we're big boys. That's a reality. And when our wives say something to encourage us, I'm proud of you in this, or thank you for that, we'll lay down our lives. It makes a big difference. And it goes the opposite as well. I'm not just saying it's for men, it's for women as well. But I'll tell you, we can either speak life or death into our marriages. We can either speak life or death into any relationship. And it really comes down to what are we going to say next. All right. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate your call. We're going to wrap this up in a few minutes live, but we're going to continue to stay here and record for the program will air tomorrow. And so if you want to share with us one thing that's made a difference in your marriage, get on the line now, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717.
The Bible is full of ways believers in Christ can experience hope. In part two of Dr. Randy's teaching, How to Experience Hope, he continues to go through the Bible and reveals six verses that show us how to experience hope from a biblical perspective. When you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, we'll email you a blog, along with a video or audio of this teaching, featuring a new topic each month, as well as a bonus teaching on various topics that will help you live an intentional life for Christ. To receive this month's special offer, call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, Randy, my name is Bert Arnold. I'm 52 years old. I've been married for 34 years almost. Early in our marriage, we got in a really big fight, and my wife went into the bedroom and said she was leaving, so she started packing her suitcase. I got my suitcase out. And she said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Wherever you're going, if you're leaving me, I'm going with you." And we both started laughing so hard we forgot about our fight, but it was that moment that we decided divorce was not an option for us. We both come from broken families and a lot of divorce and abuse and neglect and different things from both sides. But it was God, the number one thing that's kept our marriage together is just both walking with the Lord together. Thank you.
I'm going with you. That's a good one. Thank you. I could just see that. That's interesting. We're talking about what makes your marriage last. We're talking about marriage, and it got me thinking about an upcoming conference. I'm doing two conferences this year. I'm going to be in our new stationary Detroit area coming up in the spring. We don't have a date yet. But coming up here in November, just a few weeks away, the first Saturday in November, I think that's the 4th, I'll be in Albuquerque. And we're going to be opening the ticket window for you to get your tickets for that in just a week or so here. Limited seating. Love to have you come out. It's going to be just a powerful, fun night of intentional living. A couple hours, our intentional love marriage date night. I'm going to tell you some stories, and I'm going to teach you some principles from life and from experience and from counseling with couples over the years that can help you make your marriage last. So if you got a great marriage or a struggling marriage, we always have couples on both ends of the extreme. We'd love to have you be a part of it. And so circle the calendar that first Friday in November. I think it's the 4th. Andrew's checking. You can join us in Albuquerque. It's the 3rd? Saturday the 3rd? No, 4th. All right. Yeah, I was right. It's November 4th in Albuquerque. All right, we're getting near the end of the road here. Let me see if I can get John on before we run out of time. John, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good, good. What one thing has helped make your marriage work?
Forgiving or forgiveness, the ability to forgive each other, because as you say many times before, you're going to offend each other. And the ability to forgive, even though you think it's a certain way, you just have to be able to forgive it because you know it's not intentional when it's your spouse. They do love you. And it's just something that bothers you. But if you can forgive it, and I learned a long time ago, God forgave me. And mm-hmm. So I can't not forgive. And a long time ago, about 20 years ago, I learned that Jesus said, Moses permitted you to divorce because the hardness of your heart. And I learned that if I forgive, that hardness goes away.
That's right. Listen, I have in the work I've done over the years and counseling with couples and my conferences and sitting with people in pain, and I've seen couples that have made that decision right at that point where there's a humbleness in the room to say, hey, we're not perfect, will you forgive me? And there's an attitude of forgiveness. And I've seen others stand up and say, no way. Walk out. In my view, the wrong decision. And it's a process. There's no question. Forgiveness is not easy. And of course, forgiveness doesn't come without, at times, accountability and responsibility. It's not just, hey, forgive me, and then turn right around and do it again. It's an opportunity to say, hey, we're gonna work this through. But forgiveness is clearly foundational to make it work. All right, appreciate your call, John. How long have you been married, by the way?
39 years on the 19th of this month.
Well, congratulations. Appreciate your call, brother.
Thank you.
All right, keep listening. All right, I tell you what, we're going to wrap up the show live here, but guys, you got another half hour. We can stay here in the studio. We're going to just record your calls and talk a little bit more about what makes marriage last, and then we'll run that tomorrow, so we'd love to hear from you. Phone line is reopened for the next show here at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. And by the way, a reminder, if you'd like to come and be a part of this journey with us at Intentional Living, start receiving our masterclass video and audio every month. Your prayers and your monthly support make a big difference. You're helping us reach more people for Christ. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com, click on the little donate icon, the information's there. And we'll make sure you start receiving the teaching from the ministry. And then you can also call 888-888-1717. If you press number 1, you'll talk to me here. Or press number 2, you can talk to the staff about being a part of Intentional Living. So thank you for joining us today. We've heard some good things. Listen, wherever you are with your marriage today, I don't know what's going on in your marriage. But I've talked to enough couples who go through a lot of difficulty and a lot of pain, and it's a process. I would just encourage you. Here's what the research shows. Couples that are willing to really work together through the pain will often report 3 years later, 2 years later, even a year later, that they're glad they made that decision and they're better than they've ever been. That's when two people are willing to work together to make a marriage work. I'm Dr. Randy. We've got to run. But we'll see you tomorrow. Don't miss it right here on Intentional Living.